W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Heavy rains and strong wind pound Northern California, killing at least six people. KCBS's Mike DeWalt has more on one
victim. The Sonoma County Sheriff's Office confirming a two-year-old boy died after a tree fell into a home in Occidental. Juan Valencia is with the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office.
The toddler, you know, was in the living room, and we all think of our houses as being the safe haven, right? We all believe that nothing's going to happen to us at our house.
Drive the rural back roads and you'll find remnants of where trees fell into power lines, caution tape stretching across the street, branches and debris strewn across the roadway. Mike DeWald for CBS News, Sonoma County.
An 11th time is not the charm for House Republican Kevin McCarthy in his attempt to become Speaker. CBS's Deborah Alfaron.
A Speaker has not been elected.
House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy has met with some of the holdout Republicans, offering them deals to win their support.
But the offers have yet to persuade a single anti-McCarthy member to switch their vote. And some of those holdouts say no amount of wheeling and dealing will get them to change their mind.
Lawmakers are voting on whether to adjourn for the night. Buffalo Bills say safety Damar Hamlin shows what his doctors call remarkable improvement.
Buffalo coach Sean McDermott says he's been moved by the outpouring of support across the nation.
The amount of faith, hope, and love that we saw on display over the last 3 days has been nothing short of amazing.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen talked about Damar Hamlin's first question after he awoke.
The first thing on his mind wasn't, you know, poor me. It was, how are my teammates doing? Did we win this game? And that's powerful in itself.
Hamlin remains in critical condition, but is showing signs of improvement. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Count two alleges that you committed.
The suspect in the stabbing deaths of four college students makes his first court appearance before a judge in Idaho. CBS's Omar Villafranco with more on Brian Koberger.
Koberger had no reaction as a judge read the charges, while victims' family members fought back tears. Court documents unsealed today show how investigators used cell phone technology to track his whereabouts after a car matching his was seen around the murder scene. Police say his cell phone pinged in the area at least 12 times in the weeks before the murders.
President Biden announces a new southern border security plan. It involves accepting 30,000 people per month for 2 years from Venezuela, Cuba, Haiti, and Nicaragua, and allowing them to work if they have an eligible sponsor.
Their application is denied, or if they attempt to cross into the United States unlawfully, they'll be returned back to Mexico and will not be eligible for this program after that.
Bed Bath & Beyond warns about bankruptcy as sales slump. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
I'm Naheem Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with lows around 16. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, highs around 23. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 7 above. Temperatures above average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 29.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Brown, victory's coming to Titletown. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus ain't messing around. Santa Claus is coming to Titletown.
Santa Claus is coming tomorrow because it is Christmas Eve Eve, and this is our Christmas special show, our first annual Christmas special show
first
for
annual.
As Goes Wisconsin, first annual, because this show's only been on for 6 months. So when do you have any fun Christmas, like Santa stories from being, like, what you remember as a kid?
You mean like someone...
I don't know, just the memory of Santa and either tracking Santa or if he ever ate all the cookies or didn't eat the cookies or anything as far as your memory of the magic of Santa.
Definite cookie check, always.
Definite.
Definite cookie check, yes.
Was there ever any, like, footprints left or...
Didn't, we were not able to confirm, you know, footprints or anything, but the cookie was the tell, you know? And usually they would all be gone.
Yes.
So,
of course.
You know, and then we would leave a little bowl of sugar for the reindeer.
Oh.
I didn't know
that reindeer like sugar.
Of course they do. No, I just actually just remembered that. Yeah. So we would leave cookies out and then this little bowl of sugar for Santa's reindeer because apparently they need the energy, you know, when they're traveling all over the world.
The Rudolph's all hopped up on sugar.
Yeah, that's right. How do you think they get around?
Well, one tradition that has been around for 67 years is NORAD tracking Santa. And every Christmas, children and their parents around the world, this is not just an American thing, gather to receive live updates from NORAD's Santa tracker. And you know, I didn't know where this actually came from or how long it's been around until I found this story of people kind of, it was from historynet.com of talking about the roots of this tradition.
But where was that? So, okay, I'm 62. This started a few years before I was born.
December 1955.
And I don't ever remember hearing about, I mean, how is the information disseminated before cable television and all of that stuff?
So it's actually a pretty charming story. So it has Cold War roots, and it started with a misplaced phone call to a secret U.S. military command center in Colorado. So it's just the supreme irony of the heartwarming legend of Santa and his magical airborne sleigh bringing gifts for children, and somehow that it would cross paths with a military command hub tasked with defending America's skies from missiles. And the basic facts that we know are this. So it was Christmas Eve, and personnel manning the clandestine Continental Air Defense Command. So what was NORAD used to be, what's now NORAD used to be CONAD. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And they had an operations center in Colorado.
Okay.
And then they had an unexpected call, and it came to the desk of their commander, Colonel Harry Shoup. And Shoup had been in the Army Air Corps since 1940. So, it was, you know, at this point, he's 15 years in. And he was a fighter pilot and awarded the Soldier's Medal for saving a life of a comrade. And the CONAD phone line was confidential. So when Shoup answered the call, he expected it to be from a senior military official and was pretty astonished to hear a child's voice asking if he was, in fact, Santa Claus.
Oh, my gosh.
So, of course, Shoup initially thought this was a prank. And he said, somebody's playing a joke on me and this isn't funny. And then he, so to the kid, he said, can you repeat that, please? And then he realized that the call was an error due to a typo printed in a Sears newspaper advertisement encouraging children to call Santa in addition to paying him a visit at the mall. And in the article that I found this in, they have the Sears advertisement and it says, hey, kiddies, call me direct on my line. And it has the telephone, just dial 26681 or like whatever.
Sure.
And said, call me on my private phone and I will talk to you personally anytime, day or night, or come and visit me at Sears Toyland, Santa Claus. So the number they printed on accident was the CONAD number.
This super secret Batline number.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Is it incredible? And so basically his Shoup and his staff rose to the challenge of using CONAD's military technology, wink, wink, to track and protect Santa Claus on his Christmas journey. And so then Shoup asked his public relations officer to announce CONAD's Santa tracking initiative to the press with the words, CONAD, Army, Navy, and Marine Air Forces will continue to track and guard Santa and his sleigh on his trip and from to and from the U.S. against possible attack from those who do not believe in Christmas. So it obviously, because this is the Cold War,
sure,
was kind of a veiled reference to the Soviet Union.
Because they're going to shoot down Santa and the
reindeer. They're going to shoot down Santa because they don't believe in Christmas.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so the Santa tracking endeavor was a public morale booster and lifting people's spirits at a time when the Cold War tensions were very high and many ordinary citizens were worried about the possibility of a Soviet attack. And so that's the origin story. And then eventually, isn't that crazy?
That is just cuckoo. It really is. And
just a mistake, a Sears catalog mistake.
But for that commanding officer to take that next step was really clever.
Well, just to embrace it.
Well, right. That's just wild.
It's wild. And so obviously then CONAD turned into NORAD, but the tradition stuck. And to this day, children are encouraged to call in and check on Santa's whereabouts on Christmas Eve. And it's more than, this is some fun facts of where it is, what the program is today. So more than 1,200 military service members answer the calls.
Oh my gosh.
And millions of children follow Santa's movements on the NORAD Santa Tracker website.
Well, that I will actually have up because you can watch it on cable too.
Yeah.
And I will usually check to, you know, make sure the elf is okay and
yeah,
making his way around and stuff. But
make
again,
sure that the reindeer are eating their sugar.
Yes,
so they can keep being powered up.
Keep flying all night long. But again, so it was a phone line. So they would call Santa in the early days before this was disseminated on cable and stuff like that. So this was
cable
just
or a website. Yeah,
yeah.
You could just call.
Okay.
You could just call. There was they ended up on. It probably wasn't the normal secret line. They probably developed a new phone line for kids to call in on.
Right.
But but yeah, and so it kind of just goes back to Shoup's kindness in answering a misdirected phone call from a child and the holiday cheer that it spreads among men and women, both in the military and the public. And he's, so for Shoup, he became affectionately known as Santa Colonel.
Aww.
And his family said it was his proudest achievement.
Oh, that is so adorable.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And just so, to think about the servicemen and women who are still answering those calls today, that must be like, I want that detail, man.
Like, if we're going to have to do something on Christmas Eve, right? Besides be with our, like, our loved ones, yeah.
I want to sign do that. For,
yeah. And so, yeah, I thought that was such a heartwarming, fun, true origin story of how and why we track Santa.
It is interesting how much we've backed away from the whole, we have to have armed protection on Santa while he's traveling around the world in case evil people want to shoot him down. So
I know. That's like, that's the only part of the story that feels a little propaganda-y. I was like, oh, like this is a veiled insinuation of the Russians are bad.
The bad Soviet Russians.
Union is bad.
But at the time, it was apt. So that
do
is
you, not to totally taint this story, but do you remember having to do like the bomb drill? Like, were you still doing that by the time you were in elementary school?
No, my sisters did. My siblings who were like 10, 9, and 8 years older than me, they did.
Yeah.
But no, I missed all that. Because of course, crouching under your desk was such a great defense.
Well, never mind. I'm not even going to go there because it's almost Christmas and we're going to keep things light for the rest of this show.
Yes, we are.
But I'm trying to remember any my Santa stories that stick in my brain.
See, and I see your mother going all out.
Well, what's funny, yes, she absolutely did. But I don't, you know, like we never did Elf on the Shelf. I feel like that's kind of a newer tradition, and it's been fun for my niece who's 5.
Oh, that's perfect for her, right?
Finding the elves every day, and they leave her notes, and sometimes they get into mischief in her dollhouse. And that, I don't know, maybe that's the next thing. Maybe we'll save that for next year, the origin story of Elf on a Shelf and the hiding of the elf. But I'm trying to remember now. I'm sure if my mom's listening today, I'll go home after the show and she'll
You forgot that time we did this.
And no, that's not to say that I don't have incredible Christmas memories, but I'm trying to think of one that was like specifically the magic of Santa. I do remember asking for Santa for about 5 years straight for a dog, and that dog never came.
I have a feeling your father may have played a role in that.
Well, we had a dog, but there was 4 different types of dogs I would have really wanted as a kid. One was a Dachshund, like wiener dog. And in fact, my mom loves this story. Is she's like, well, who's going to, you know, you're going to have to walk the dog if you got your own dog. And I would say, well, his legs are really short, so I wouldn't have to walk him that far. So, the logic of a 7-year-old.
Absolutely.
And, I still really love bulldogs, but I've always loved bulldogs. I wouldn't get one now just because they have so many health issues. But then I loved big dogs. I loved the idea of a Great Dane or a St. Bernard, because obviously I had seen Beethoven one too many times, and German Shepherds. And that was never, a big dog was never going to happen in our house. But that was the gift I really wanted from Santa and never actually got.
Now you have Cliffy.
But now I have Cliffy, who is not enjoying the weather.
I was going to ask about that. Those must be some real quick trips.
Real quick peas, running back in the house. All right. Well, now that we're on the subject of Santa was not always the fat, jolly man that we know him to be today. There were some old school pictures of Santa that he looked a lot different. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is messing around. Those lousy bears.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Sleigh bells ring.
Are you listening in the land? Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We are happy tonight, walking in the winter wonderland.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin Christmas Edition. We are having fun, Jane and I, today. Jane's in Waukesha. I'm in Wisconsin Rapids. It's cold everywhere. It's snowy everywhere, but not as maybe as bad as we thought it would be.
No, it is not as bad as we thought it would be. Again, I think we got lucky because we didn't get more snow. Yeah. And I think we might be getting a burst after 5 o'clock tonight, which for people who are on the roads is going to be, that's going to be an issue. So be careful.
Be careful.
Yeah,
did you say that we have a text message?
We do, from the 414, our friend in the 414. We were talking about the NORAD and the history of the Santa tracker and all of that. Texture says, as a young kid, I remember hearing about the Santa flight on the radio because this was before the internet. My dad used to religiously listen to WBBM in Chicago, and that was when I heard about the tracking. So I'm sure they did reports on all the AM, which was probably almost all AM stations at that time. It worked as well. My brother and myself always went to bed early that night. It probably happened about 55 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But some of those memories really stick. They really stick with you.
Well, like you said, and sometimes you just have to unlock them a little bit, like the sugar for reindeer.
Honestly, I haven't thought about that in decades.
That's so funny. Well, if you have other Christmas stories that you want to share with us, we will read them. Because it's the Christmas edition of As Goes Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. And this hour specifically, we're doing some fun facts, origin stories, history of some of the traditions that we just assume this is how it always was. But where did it actually come from? And the next one, which predates, I would say, pretty much anyone who is alive currently, is what Santa looked like before 1920, because it was in the 1920s that this version of Santa that was plump and jolly and had his rosy cheeks, and that was mainly from Coca-Cola's holiday advertising.
Yeah, it was advertisements.
But before that, it wasn't that this was the first imaging of Santa that we've seen. It's that Santa prior to that was a lot creepier. So I found this on Petapixel. We will send out some of these pictures. I've already sent it to Brooklyn. I was like, we have to share these because I'm going to try to explain them on air, but they have to actually be seen to be believed, because it's 19th century photos that reveal that the Santa Claus of that era was hunchbacked.
Excuse me?
Hunchbacked, skinny, and sometimes terrifying. And it was, you know, Father Christmas looked a little differently and a little less cuddly than the 20th century Santa, let's say it that way. And so this is a series of black and white photographs, and they date back as far as the 1880s.
Wow.
And Santa was kind of scary and scrawny, and he was robed. He had no reindeer, but he was hunchbacked because he was dragging around so many presents, which kind of makes sense.
It sounds like Rasputin. I mean, what a creepy guy to come visit your home.
Truly. I mean, and so some of the 1880s images depict like a grotesque old man with a large mask. Some of the 1890s pictures represent Father Christmas as a spooky, ghostly figure, like Christmas Past, maybe.
Sure.
If you think of
A Christmas Carol.
Scrooge, A Christmas Carol. And he also, in some of the European imaging of Santa or Saint Nick, he was accompanied by a gruesome little creature known as Krampus, which was a devil-like character who beats badly behaved children and drags them back to hell.
So it
wasn't until the 1920s that kind of the image that we have of Santa now, and Coca-Cola changed it because they wanted to move away from the traditional thin, intellectual, very strict looking Santa and make him be a little bit more approachable.
Just think where we would be now if Coca-Cola had never done that. I mean, you would think that the image would have been updated at some point, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe we'd still have Rasputin Santa Claus.
I can't wait to send you these pictures.
Oh, that is just so weird.
Well, it's also, I feel like I've seen similar old photographs of this, of like old Halloween costumes that were basically just like potato sacks. And there's something about old photos, especially because I feel like it used to not be, you didn't smile for photos. I think the rare occasion that you probably even took photos, and they just look Victorian and haunted and weird so often.
And severe. Yeah.
And so these photos, though, they're fascinating from a historical context, but trying to think of being a young child and this is what you wake up to when Santa's visiting is kind of terrifying, if I'm going to be totally honest. And so I, for one, am grateful for the modern day Santa instead of this Rasputin. What did you say? Rasputin
Claus. I mean, come on. That's just, it sounds like Fagin from Oliver. You know,
that's kind of what it looks like.
That's a good
description.
That is just wild.
And so we'll tweet and share some of these photos and the link to the original article because, you know, it's good to know where your traditions come from. And so more fun when we're going to come back because we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, the economists will tell you what the perfect Christmas gift is. And the answer might surprise you. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin, Christmas edition.
We'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking while we walking.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide and their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge-watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with lows around 16. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, highs around 23. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 7 above. Temperatures above average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 29.
Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, the Christmas edition. It is Christmas Eve Eve. It is Festivus. We are having fun. Jane is in Waukesha at WAUK. I am in Wisconsin Rapids at WFHR. But hello to all of our other stations across the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today. I don't know if it's your lunch hour, because I think a lot of people are either taking the day off or didn't drive to work if they didn't have to. But yeah, for everyone who is working and weathered the cold and the wind and is still listening to us now, thank you for joining us.
Do you have windows where you are, Kristen, in that studio there?
I do. I'm looking out right now onto the little roundabout next to the river in Wisconsin Rapids. And the trees aren't blowing. I think the wind is harsh, but I can't see anything. The visibility seems fine up here. Okay. How does it look down there?
It's blowing pretty hard down here. I mean, we actually have some sunshine, which is weird. I feel like we haven't seen the sun in a month. But yeah, a little sun peeking through, but ooh, that wind, yeah, shaking things up.
Are you nervous about driving home?
I'm nervous about my car not starting when I get out of here.
Oh gosh.
So I think at the top of the hour news, in the 6 minutes that I have, I will dash out there and start the car quick and then run it for a minute and then
let it warm up.
Yeah, I just that is my biggest concern, is that sitting out in that cold air, although it's only a couple of hours, I wouldn't think that it would go dead in 3 hours.
Probably not, but I don't know if enough about cars or kind of car you drive to know what could or could not happen.
I mean, my husband is off today, so if I have to get a jump, he can always, I'm sure he'll be so happy about that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He can always come out and give me a jump.
So what do you have planned coming for the weekend? Do you guys have any traditions that you're excited about?
Well, unfortunately, I was supposed to be hosting three girlfriends, good friends tonight. And we were just going to have a pizza party, and everybody was going to bring something to share. And that has gotten canceled because one of our friends lives way out in the Sussex area. And I think people are just, and justifiably so, if you don't have to be on the road, don't.
Don't.
You know, we're actually going to get together on Monday instead.
Oh,
So we'll do a brunchy thing on Monday. But so, we don't really have many hard and fast traditions, except for Christmas morning. My husband will get up first. He will start the fire. And then I get up, and then we have a little breakfast. And then we open prezzies. And then we get ready because we're hosting this year. So we'll be having people. I got cooking to do. I have cooking to do tonight since I'm not going to be having guests. And I have a lot of cooking to do tomorrow, too. So I'm making lasagna for the first time.
Ooh, that's what we have on Christmas Eve.
Oh, is it?
That's our tradition is lasagna on Christmas Eve. And then we have, for Christmas morning, kielbasa and eggs and stuff like that. But that's part of our. But and then we do most of our Christmas presents Friday night.
Oh, well,
and
yeah,
when we
sure.
were kids, going back to when Santa still visited us, the parents' gifts to us as kids was Christmas Eve.
Ah.
And then we had more presents because we were arguably spoiled that were from Santa in the morning. But we still have stockings in the morning. But most of the gifts we do around the fire with plenty of drinks on Christmas Eve. But it makes me think, are you a present person? You know how there's the five love languages? Are you familiar with this? So the five love languages are quality time, touch, words of affirmation, gifts or acts of service. Hmm. So basically it's this idea that how we show as any given person predominantly, it will fall into one of those five categories as far as how you show or receive love is through one of those, predominantly through one of those five. And I feel like despite my mother being one of the best gift givers in the world, for me, gift giving is like fairly down on that list. As far as giving or receiving, I like gifts, don't get me wrong, but it's just, I would much rather you tell me that I'm pretty.
good to know.
And, but so do you really get into buying the perfect gift? Are you offended if someone gets you a gift that just doesn't make sense?
No, never. And okay. I used to be much more into the shopping when my in-laws were still alive. And we would ship things overseas because they were in England. Mm. So I would spend a lot of time picking out things for Christine and for my brothers-in-law and stuff like that. But again, we don't gift that much anymore. And Paul and I are trying to get rid of stuff. I don't need more stuff. And even with my friends who were supposed to come over tonight, and we have always done this for Christmas and birthdays, that we would all exchange gifts. But last year I told him too, I said, we got to stop. Either let's donate to a charity collectively or do it on each other's behalf. That's kind of more of what I'm into now.
Yeah, but, that makes sense.
I have to say as well that I'm never going to say no to a nice piece of jewelry.
Gold in or the silver?
In the true spirit of the season. Yes.
Absolutely. Gold or silver?
Either works.
Either? You don't have a preference?
No.
Oh, all right.
Just if it's sparkly, you know how I am. I'm
That's
there.
True. You do like...
I like blingy things. I like blingy
bedazzled,
things.
Bedazzled, bejeweled
yes,
things.
Yes, I do.
And so, well, if you have an idea of what you think the perfect Christmas gift is, or a perfect Christmas gift that you once bought... or once received, 844-967-2789, because some economists looked into and researched what the perfect Christmas gift is. And the answer, if you know economists, it might not actually surprise you, because they can be, let's say, they can be kind of Scrooges. They're very pragmatic.
Sure.
But I'm not sure the average economist really, you know, if the utility of really getting into the Christmas spirit, but they studied what the perfect Christmas gift is. And their answer kind of is no gift at all.
Is the best gift.
It's the best gift.
Oh, well, that's a real Scroogey position to take.
And so in 1993, an economist named Joel Waldfogel studied how much people valued their Christmas gift versus how much the gift actually cost.
Hmm.
So the perceived, and I don't know if the value meaning, if you had to guess how much you thought the gift cost versus the value that it holds in your heart of how much you hold on to it and treasure it versus how much it actually cost. And so what his conclusion was is that Christmas gift giving wastes a lot of money. And, you know, it's because most people value their gifts at a less than their actual retail price. And he calculated, and this was in the 90s, so I can't even imagine what it is now, that of the $38 billion Americans spend on Christmas gifts, or the gifts, previous Christmas, as much as $13 billion was wasted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just shocking. And is it wasted because the gifts were not used, or they didn't like them?
It was just they were given away, thrown out, not valued. But it changes depending on who gave the gift. So the group that did the best at giving people what they actually valued, maybe not surprising, because typically this person, once you're an adult, knows you the best and probably spends the most amount of time with you. So they actually know what you need or what you want. But the group that did the best at giving people what they actually valued was significant others. And I don't think that's surprising. That makes sense. But the group that did the worst at giving gifts that the recipient actually valued, this is kind of sad, but do you want to guess?
Oh boy. Narrow it down. Give me a hint.
It's family. It's older family.
Oh, it's your grandparents.
It's your grandparents.
Yeah. I can see that.
Oh, it's that sweater that you're never going to wear, or socks. Although socks are always useful because those little suckers always disappear. And the amount of unmatched socks I have in our house is, I don't know, because you always hold out hope that you're going to find the other one.
Someday it will reappear.
So we just have an entire bin of unmatched socks that I think at some point when we finally unpack the rest of our boxes that are staying in our garage from our move, maybe we will find those matching socks. But the moral of the story is, what do economists think you should do instead? Just give cash.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So
wow.
That way people's gifts align with what they actually value, which is so not fun.
No.
And so not in the Christmas spirit.
No, that's not nice at all. We have Deb on the line.
Oh!
With a story about a good Christmas gift. Right, Deb?
Okay.
I do have a story. When I was a little girl, 6 years old to be exact, the perfect gift would have been a Barbie doll, right? Born in 1955, Barbie dolls were all the rage then. And so at six, I wanted a Barbie. Well, my dad owned a store, a toy store, and I would go down and stand and look at all the Barbies and all the outfits that came for Barbie, and I wanted one so badly. Christmas morning, there was my Barbie, but she was missing almost everything. All the accessories that she was supposed to come with were gone. And as it turns out, there was a note from Santa, and it said, "Dear Debbie, I'm afraid that some of Barbie's accessories must have gotten lost in my bag. If I find them, I'll bring them back to you." I was so excited that I got a letter from Santa, it didn't even matter that what I had really received was the display Barbie from the toy store. And I was so naive that I thought, I am so lucky because Santa Claus actually left me a personal note. And that was the best gift ever for a six-year-old.
Oh, that is a great story.
That is a really
good
story.
Well, Jane, I know you like Barbies.
I do. I love Barbies. I just think it's so sweet that you weren't bothered by the missing accessories. You know, you weren't bothered by that at all. It was just Santa wrote me a personal note, and now I should be good.
That's right. Well, we had many a laugh about that in my family for many years on how I only got a half naked Barbie, but I did get a Barbie.
How many years did you play with that Barbie?
Oh, for a long time, because, you know, that was before they had Barbie for every single thing, and you didn't just keep getting new Barbies. So it was that Barbie. And, Jane, do you remember? I don't know if you remember. The very first ones came with, like, a black and white striped swimming suit. And that was the one I had. And she had her hair up in that ponytail thing. And but she was supposed to come with stuff, and it was supposed to come in a little box, and that was all gone.
Oh, that is so funny.
It was funny, yeah. So, yeah, well, my parents, needless to say, were a little embarrassed through the years as I told that story.
Thank you so much, Deb. Merry, merry,
You're
merry
welcome.
Christmas.
You guys have a merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
That's a great story.
That is so great.
Do you have a toy that you remember from your childhood that you valued just like more than anything?
Valued more than anything. Well, I was pretty lucky. I had a couple American Girl dolls that I feel like I spent a lot of time playing with.
You're lucky.
And whether my mother kept me from doing this, I never actually cut off their hair. Which was probably good, because I think their value would have gone down by a lot had
considerably.
I actually cut
their hair. Yes,
but I think it depends. It changed throughout the years. As far as I remember, one year I got a karaoke machine, and that was pretty fun, but it didn't work out very well, as we will hear at the end of today's show, about an hour from now. All those voice lessons and all the practicing on a karaoke machine didn't really pay off.
Kristen Rye sings.
All right, well, we're gonna take another break, and when we come back, some background on mistletoe. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle you hear, silver bells.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, the special Christmas edition on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic you think we should cover or an idea for a guest that we should have on, shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us or give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, especially for next week. Is there any end of the year topics that we should make sure that we cover before we roll in the new year?
2023.
This year went by fast.
Well, you've had a whole lot of things going on this last year.
That's true. That's true.
Some major life changes for you.
That is true. But it's still, I feel like, I just saw this, and maybe that's one of the ones we'll do next week. The scientific reason that time goes by faster as we get older.
Oh.
Which feels obvious, because each year becomes a smaller and smaller fraction of your entire life. So that's what makes sense to me of why time seems to go faster, because it's relatively a smaller proportion of your whole life. So if I'm 36 this year, this 1 year is 1/36th, and next year it's going to be 1/37th. So that's how it makes sense to me. But we'll maybe cover, I'll read that article and maybe report back what I find. But have you ever gotten caught under the mistletoe?
High school.
Really? Did you follow through? Did you actually kiss the person?
I did.
Oh, was it? Did you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
Badly. It's like, how about if I just hang around under here for a while and maybe he'll eventually walk by?
And then I will rapidly point out to him, hey, look what we're under right now.
Oh my
now.
Gosh, what a coincidence. Who could have possibly noticed that there?
Well, I don't think I've ever... I think the closest I've ever been caught under the mistletoe is someone at Christmas parties literally carrying around fake mistletoe.
Oh, sure.
And holding it above your head and saying, oh, now you got to kiss me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And I'm pretty sure I usually was like, No, thank you. But but mistletoe does have a much richer history than just the kissing plant, which the first thing is I didn't realize is it's a parasitic plant.
So it grows on other things.
It grows on other things. And so it's not something that just, there's not like a mistletoe bush. It's something that is on an oak tree or on other plants.
Oh.
But it has this rich history of myth and tradition, and it dates back to like ancient times, which also, side note, I found out while we were on our honeymoon, aloe, the aloe plant also dates back to ancient times as being like a magical plant that even in Egyptians, Greek, like all of the ancient civilizations used it for healing and a bunch of different things, but not so much for mistletoe. But so it dates back to ancient times, and basically the first one was like to like cut from oak trees, and it was very symbolic for Celtic druids.
Okay.
Who ceremoniously cut it with like a golden sickle on the sixth night of the moon.
As druids are wont to do.
As druids are wont to do. And then later it was gathered both at midsummer and winter solstices. And then in the Middle Ages, it was thought that mistletoe mistakenly thought to have sprouted from bird droppings, but no.
No, okay.
That's what the assumption was. So they believed that it had life-giving powers and it bestowed fertility, so it could protect against poisons, it was an aphrodisiac, and it could ward off evil spirits.
So they consumed mistletoe?
It sounds like it. It sounds like something that they either... Yeah, as an aphrodisiac, you'd think that it's not just you could sit under it and get the benefits. You actually had to eat it.
Ingest
it. So I guess we know it's not poisonous.
I always thought it was.
I don't know. But if they were eating it...
Apparently not.
It bestowed fertility. But then in Europe, it was commonly hung in doorways throughout the house and stable to prevent the entrance of witches.
Oh. Keep the evil
spirits out. And then the origins of today's traditions involving mistletoe date back to Greek festivals, where it was believed to confer fertility again, and later with primitive marriage rites, or alternatively into Scandinavia. And so then in Norse mythology, the god of peace, Balder, was killed by an arrow made of mistletoe. But his parents, Odin and Frigga, restored his life and gave mistletoe to the goddess of love. And so then it was decreed that anyone who passed under mistletoe should receive a kiss.
So it's a Nordic, the current form of what we do with mistletoe is a Nordic tradition.
But it seems like the ongoing theme across centuries or millennia even is fertility and aphrodisiac. And it seems like there's always been kind of something around the lovemaking that goes with mistletoe. But the traditions related to European mistletoe were transferred to the similar American plant with immigration and settlement. And for those who wish to observe the correct etiquette, a berry should be plucked after each kiss. And when the last berry is gone, there should be no more kissing.
Uh-oh.
Didn't know that part, did you?
No. Is this like the curse now of the mistletoe?
I don't know if it's a curse. I think it's just etiquette.
Oh.
It's like using the right fork at Christmas dinner.
Approach the mistletoe correctly. Respect the mistletoe.
You will not get extra luck out of the mistletoe once the berries are gone.
Okay.
You're not getting lucky. Let it go.
Not going to happen for you. Sorry.
So there you go. So those are our fun facts for this Christmas.
And
I learned a lot. Did you learn a lot?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm still wrapping my head around the scary Santa Claus that we talked about earlier. And the whole mistletoe thing, that's fascinating. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise because they were really very focused on fertility.
Especially when you think about the birth, like,
there's
mortality rates. Yeah. So we're like, we just have to keep pumping them out.
Come on, baby.
Live. But yeah, so that was some of the fun facts that I learned in preparation for today's show. But now we're going to switch over to airing the grievances because it is Festivus. So this is your chance. We don't always do a lot of complaining on this show, but this segment, this next segment, if you have a grievance you would like to air, we want to hear from you.
Take advantage of it.
Yep. 844-967-2789. I got to come up with mine because I think I complained, but I was trying to come up with what do I really want to air out on air today. So on the break, I'm gonna think of what mine are. But come back, stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, mit your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-beaked reindeer, you'll go down in history.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago on the 11th vote in the U.S. House.
A speaker has not been elected.
There are GOP holdouts, including Colorado's Lauren Boebert. More from CBS's Nicole Killian.
Some of McCarthy's backers feel the party's being taken hostage by the demands of a few. As negotiations took place behind closed doors, far-right members appeared unmoved.
It is not happening. And as it's been said, we need to get to a point